Well, welcome everyone to another episode of WA This Week. And look, a bit of a busy week this week. Just got back from spending a couple of days in Kalgoorlie, and primarily to go up there to talk to the people in Kalgoorlie about the issues they've had with power reliability, or should I say the lack of reliability of power in Kalgoorlie. Now, Kalgoorlie is a major regional city. You know, almost 30,000 people live in Kalgoorlie and the immediate surrounds. But of course, for the state of Western Australia, Kalgoorlie provides a substantial amount of the wealth that we all enjoy. And, you know, there are big businesses and small businesses. And of course, all of the residential homes, they all depend on having a reliable electricity supply. Just before Christmas, we saw dreadful blackouts. It was a massive heat wave and enormous distress for people in the community generally, but particularly people who are sick who are otherwise unwell and had enormous difficulty withstanding all of that heat. But the impact on business, it was really interesting, in fact, talking to people in Kalgoorlie during this trip about the impact on their businesses. But every business, you know, whether you run a hairdresser salon or you've got a consultancy or, you know, the supermarkets. I mean, we heard stories of the supermarkets having to throw out hundreds of thousands of dollars of food because when the power goes off and doesn't come on for more than a few hours, then they're obliged to throw out all their frozen goods. Now, again, we had more power blackouts, two power blackouts, major blackouts in 4 days in May. Now, with those two incidents, that supermarket lost over, it was just a small IGA, lost over $300,000 worth of food. And of course, they go to the government and ask for compensation. The government says, well, are you insured? And doesn't offer meaningful help or support to them. But we held a forum in Kalgoorlie. The Chamber of Commerce there were really kind enough to donate their venue. And we had a meeting on Wednesday night. And had a good turn up, about 30 locals turned up across from community and business to tell us about those issues and explain the impact that it had on them. As always, when you go to those forums, you just learn so much. I mean, obviously understanding the real impact on people, but also, of course, in a town like Kalgoorlie, you've got a whole heap of smart technical people as well who can give you insight to the problems. Now, the Minister Johnson was kind enough to allow us to visit the Synergy site, which provides backup power for Kalgoorlie. And for those that don't know, Kalgoorlie gets their power on a 220 kV line that comes actually really all the way from Muja Power Station. That's essentially where the power comes from. And that comes into Kalgoorlie. But Kalgoorlie's also got a Synergy power station that can provide power backup when that line is down. And it's a very long line, hundreds of kilometres long. And sometimes there will be issues that take that down. The problem in the power outages was, both in the Christmas ones and in the May ones, the Synergen power station never came to help. It took hours and hours and hours to resolve the issues. And I was keen to understand, why does it take so long to get that reserve power back up? Now, the other thing in Kalgoorlie, they're blessed with energy resources. There's a power station called the Parkston Power Station. Now, that's a privately run power station, but it's connected into the Swiss. It actually has the same spare power capacity, as in generation capacity. It's equivalent to the Synergy power station, and so they can provide backup power as well. So I wanted to know, you know, what was the real situation? Why does it take so long for the people in Kalgoorlie to have reliable power supply restored to their houses and businesses when in metropolitan Perth, you know, most of us rarely see any sort of outage, unless I might say if you live in Rolleystone or some of those outer areas who do see them, but for the majority of the metropolitan area, it's pretty good. And what I found out was really quite interesting. In fact, those power stations that Synergy owns can be wound up to full capacity in under 30 minutes. And in fact, after 15 minutes, they can start putting power into the system. Now, they provide the power, but Western Power, who owns all the power lines, has to switch that power into houses. But that can happen relatively quickly, certainly no more than 2 hours. And in fact, it should be significantly under that. Every household in Kalgoorlie should have power if that line from Perth comes down. Instead, what do we see? And we heard all sorts of stories from the government on this, and they told different people different stories. You know, it takes anywhere up to 6 hours to get the power on. Just not true. In fact, what we found out is that Western Power has a policy, and that is that if the power goes out, unless they think the outage is going to be more than 2 hours, they don't actually bother starting up those power stations. Now, because what that means is if the job takes longer or they've got parts or there are other complications, which is what happened in all of the outages I've talked about, all of a sudden it's hours and hours and hours before people have got power. So, you know, that's clearly unacceptable. We wouldn't accept that. And the other thing is, with some minor modification, Parkeston could actually provide reliable backup power. It's a power station that operates much more regularly and, from the numbers I saw, is much more reliable than the Synergy station. But look, in any case, that's for clever people to work out. But it's an ideal option as well. And I will say I'm really pleased, in response to the pressure we've been putting on the government, they've now reversed that policy in relation to waiting 2 hours, and now they will start up that backup power station as soon as there's a loss of the line from Perth. And so that's a real positive step forward. But we need to hear much more from Minister Johnson into what else he's going to do to guarantee people in Kalgoorlie have the sort of power reliability we have. I mean, I won't go on, but it's very obvious that the regions are treated differently to the city in terms of what's acceptable in terms of power outages. That's unacceptable to me, and certainly something, if I was in government, I would be looking forward to change quickly. Look, really interesting and I guess disturbing time coming and facing potentially Australia, and that is the issue of foot and mouth disease coming into the state. And look, there have been plenty of comments made about this, but foot and mouth disease would literally be a catastrophe for the agricultural industries in Western Australia. Foot and mouth disease affects all cloven hoofed animals. So that's whether it's goats, deer, camels, pigs, horses, sheep, cattle, all of those, buffalo, all of those can catch and carry foot and mouth disease. Now, the problem with this is if foot and mouth disease comes in from Indonesia or anywhere else, if it got into northern Australia, it would probably be impossible to eliminate it from the country because of the number of feral animals in the north of the state. And even in the south of the state, we have wild pigs all through the forest. There are even wild deer reported occasionally, but certainly wild goats all through the pastoral regions, all through the Kimberleys, wild goats. Literally, if you looked at it, wild horses and wild camels, all of those animals, there'd be millions of animals that could possibly transmit that disease that aren't contained in farms. So it is a real worry. And make no mistake, if foot and mouth disease reaches the shores of Western Australia, it will be catastrophic for our agricultural industry. Now, you know, you would have seen today, this is recorded on the Friday, the Agriculture Minister, the Honourable Alana McTiernan, made some comments in the paper that foot and mouth disease, if it came to the state, would be good for consumers. I mean, that view is delusional. It's not just wrong, it's delusional. It makes me seriously worry how the Honourable Alana McTiernan can be in that position. I mean, she's got a long history of being against the use of animals in agriculture and animal exports and the like, but to say that somehow Western Australians would be better off, it would destroy our agricultural industry, which is a substantial contributor to our state economy and obviously is directly responsible for the employment of tens of thousands of Western Australians. But on top of that, if we have foot and mouth in Australia, we can't export dairy and meat products. Now, the dairy industry in our state, the minister made the comment that milk would be cheaper because, you know, and dairy products would be cheaper because they wouldn't be being exported. Well, no, Minister. If we didn't have the availability of export for those industries, it's a high probability that the majority of our dairy industry in the state that remains would shut down. The only way that they're keeping their head above water is the ability to export products offshore. So, in fact, it would likely lead to a substantial increase in the cost of those products. And it goes without saying, clearly, if there's foot and mouth disease in the state, then abattoirs can potentially be shut down for months, but certainly the movement of stock from farms is highly restricted or stopped altogether. When this hit the UK, 6 million animals had to be killed to prevent the spread of the disease in the UK. It's devastated their industry. They're still trying to recover today. Now, that was back in the early 2000s in the UK. So Alana McTiernan and my colleague, Rick Wilson, federal member, has called for Alana McTiernan to resign, and I think she should. She is not up to that job. She clearly does not understand the agricultural industry. She does not take this disease seriously enough if she can make glib comments like that in the press. And I will say, I do congratulate my colleagues, the Honourable Neil Thompson, Member for Mining and Pastoral, and our candidate for North West Central, Will Baston, calling for the government to consider culling the feral animals from the Kimberleys and from those pastoral regions, because if the foot and mouth disease gets into the state, then there's a high probability that those feral animals, goats, pigs, camels and the like, and the wild horses, there's a high probability that they will spread the disease right across northern Australia. And as I say, it would become effectively impossible to remove the disease from the state. So certainly, and I think this could be targeted, but the government needs to seriously take on that request from Will Baston and the Honourable Neil Thompson to consider far more vigorous feral animal controls in areas that could be affected by foot and mouth. You know, it's just with a thought of costs in mind, we do see iron ore prices now starting to come down a bit. Look, that's inevitable. I think everyone had, you know, knew that those sort of iron ore prices up close to $200 were unsustainable in the long term. But it is something that can potentially impact on the future of the state. It's why it's so important that we have a government that focuses on future industries in the state. Look, mining is the backbone of the Western Australian economy. In fact, it's the backbone of Australian economy. It's going to be the backbone of our economy for a long time. But we need to look at the future and look at what are the other industries that we're going to develop that will ultimately pick up the slack when you see that inevitable decline in particularly metal prices over time. They are typically expected to decline. So that's a real challenge, and it's a challenge this government has failed. I'll talk about this more fully in another podcast, but I think it's probably the greatest failure of this state Labor government. I think they've blown the boom. You tell me one thing, and I'd like your feedback. Tell me what you think this state Labor government's done to develop our economy past mining and the other industries that already exist. You know, they've just completely failed. They talk about things a lot. Boy, if talking about things was going to create jobs, then, you know, we'd have jobs coming out of our ears in the future. But talking about it isn't enough. They talk about renewables, they talk about hydrogen, but what we see the major investors in this area, including Twiggy Forest, literally investing billions and billions and billions of dollars in other states when they want to invest in Western Australia. And the reason they can't invest in Western Australia is that this Labor government is too incompetent to enable their projects to come here. It is really, really sad. And, you know, this goes to the core of the younger people and any of the, you know, any of the youth that are looking at this. You know, your job that you're going to have when you're 40 probably doesn't exist now. You've probably heard that from other sources, but you know, the sorts of jobs you're going to have in the future are going to critically depend on the new industries that we get up and going now, and the Labor government's failed completely on that. You know, we're starting to see a bit more union activity around the place. We've seen public sector unions now calling for a 5% wage rise. Look, no wonder they're calling for a wage rise. What we've seen is a Labor government that has done nothing to give effective cost release to households. We've said the government should reverse their July 1 fee increases, and they can still do that. They've still got the capacity to do that, and that would go a long way to assisting every household in Western Australia cope with these enormously rising costs that all households are facing. Thanks very much for listening. As I've said before, you can, if you want to get this as a podcast and share it with your friends, or colleagues, you can get it on iTunes, Spotify, or Stitcher. The video is available on LinkedIn, or it's available on YouTube as well. You just look up Dr. David Honey, and you can share the video. Please share it with your friends. Please get the message out. Please give us your feedback. Always grateful for that. And otherwise, I hope you have a fabulous week. Thank you.